This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Former Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio is not content with his presidential pardon from his ally Donald Trump. He now wants his original guilty verdict of criminal contempt of court thrown out. The notorious former head of Maricopa County Sheriff's Department had asked the judge in his case to toss the verdict. And earlier this week, the Justice Department filed a brief motion in court supporting that request. The DOJ's request said, quote, "The government agrees that the court should vacate all orders and dismiss the case as moot." But a number of advocacy organizations contend that Trump's pardon of Arpaio is actually unconstitutional and in violation of the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment. Among the groups is Free Speech for People, and my guest Ron Fine is its legal director. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
So this is kind of a convoluted legal story. There seems to be a little bit of circular thinking that Arpaio and the DOJ are engaging in. So let's start at the beginning for those who need a refresher. The original criminal contempt of court verdict that Arpaio faced was based on his actions while he was sheriff of Maricopa County Sheriff's Department. Based on his violation of the rights of, in particular, Latino residents of Arizona, right?
That's right. And he's been in a lot of legal trouble over the past two decades, but this stems in particular from a conviction very recent in late July for violating a 2011 court order that ordered him and his office to stop detaining mostly Latino drivers without reasonable suspicion that they'd committed any crime at all.
So the pardon then came before the judge could actually have a sentencing hearing, right? Arpaio was essentially waiting to find out if he was going to receive any prison time, and along comes Trump and offers a full pardon. What was that pardon based on, and how does it compare to presidential pardons in general?
Well, the pardon, from what we know, from what Mr. Trump has said in public statements, he said that Joe Arpaio was convicted for doing his job, is what he told a Phoenix rally audience just a few days before he issued the pardon. As a pardon, though, it is completely unprecedented. There has never been a case in our nation's history of a president issuing a pardon to a public official who had been found in criminal contempt of court for deliberately disobeying a court order to stop violating people's constitutional rights.
So presidential pardons, of course, are pardons for people who have been found guilty of some kind of crime and who might be serving some kind of sentence, so, right?
Yeah, a pardon can be issued before sentencing, and in some cases a pardon can even be issued before charges are filed. But what's truly astonishing about this pardon is what it's for, more so than the timing. The process by which Trump made this pardon without going through the normal Department of Justice process is indicative that he wanted to get it passed in a way that would probably have been blocked by the career government lawyers if they had been asked about it. But again, the reason for the pardon being to pardon a public official for deliberately disobeying a court order to stop violating people's constitutional rights has never happened before.
And that is the basis on which your organization and others are challenging the constitutionality of the pardon?
That's right. My organization, freespeechforpeople.org, along with Professor Martin Reddish and the Coalition to Preserve, Protect, and Defend, filed a friend of the court brief arguing that while the president's power to pardon is broad, it's limited by other parts of the Constitution. And in this case, it's limited by the Due Process Clause of the Fifth Amendment.
And so the actual presidential pardon itself, has it fully taken effect? I mean, has there been any kind of official filing? I'm not sure what the process for presidential pardons is, but is it a done deal?
It's not a done deal. What happened was the president issued the pardon on a Friday night. The next Monday, Arpaio's lawyers presented the pardon in court and asked that the case be dismissed and that the conviction actually be expunged from his record. And we filed a friend of the court brief on Monday, which is the same day that the Department of Justice filed its brief. And while the Department of Justice could have done a lot of things, what they decided to do in this case was to cave in and say that the conviction should be vacated, expunged from his record as if it had never happened.
So let's talk about the logic that Arpaio's attorneys are using, and even the Justice Department seems to be using. Basically, they're saying that since the pardon, in fact, let me actually even just quote what it was that the attorneys and the Department of Justice said. They want to, because the president issued a pardon before sentencing and judgment, and clearly before the conclusion of any appeals, the court is obligated to vacate its verdict and all other orders in this matter and to dismiss the case with prejudice. So essentially, they're arguing that the president's pardon means that the entire case is meaningless. How does that hold water?
Well, it sends a very dangerous message. It's not the way that pardons usually work. In fact, the normal process for pardons is that the Department of Justice won't even consider an application until 5 years after the person has already served their sentence. In this case, the message that it sends to law enforcement officials around the country and perhaps to officials in Trump's own circle is that if they get into trouble for violating a court order, he's going to bail them out and they won't have to spend a day in a cell and they won't even have a mark on their record.
Right. And the mark on the record seems to be what Arpaio is now going for. It's not good enough that he doesn't have to, if the pardon stands, doesn't have to spend a day in prison. He wants his record expunged. But practically speaking, it doesn't make a difference either way. If the pardon stands, the verdict simply means that he has a record, not that he actually has to serve time.
Right. And the normal effect of a pardon is to clear someone's name without, again, expunging it, without pretending that it never happened. In this case, Arpaio is asking for it to be completely expunged. But either way, the bigger issue is not so much whether it's cleared off his record, but the fact that Trump has essentially given him a get-out-of-jail-free card. And not only Arpaio, but again, any law enforcement official around the country who's running inhumane detention facility or who's running unconstitutional policing practices now has a signal from the president that if they get a court order, they don't have to worry about it.
Let's talk about who is going to be making these judgments. Judge Susan Bolton was the original judge that found the guilty verdict. Of course, right-wing supporters of Arpaio have said that her original decision was entirely unfair. Is it all in her hands now to decide on whether to toss the original verdict because of the pardon?
It's in her hands at the outset, but what we have also asked is that the court appoint a outside lawyer to represent the broader interests of the Department of Justice in this case. And that does have a fair amount of precedent in criminal contempt cases, because in this case, the attorneys from the Department of Justice, we don't know what type of direction they're getting from Attorney General Sessions, and they may not be most capable of representing the Constitution as opposed to the president.
Are you suggesting that the DOJ might be biased?
There's a natural risk in any case with political overtones, and particularly in a criminal contempt case like this one.
So the hearing, I understand, is going to be in early October. And at that point, it'll be partly in Susan Bolton's hands, or you might even have a different... could this challenge that your organization is presenting actually end up at a higher court?
It depends. Normally, when both sides to a case agree on what should be done, as is happening here with the Department of Justice agreeing with Joe Arpaio, normally in that case, that would be the end of it and you wouldn't see an appeal. This is an unusual case, and if Judge Bolton does appoint an outside attorney, then it might turn out quite differently.
Is this particular case, the whole issue of Arpaio's conviction, his pardon, the challenging of the verdict in the first place, is it symbolic of where Trump is trying to take this country? Does it signal to those anti-immigrant forces that he is clearly on their side and that he, you know, upholds Arpaio as exactly the kind of law enforcement leader that he wants to see around the country?
I think it absolutely sends that signal. It also sends a signal that, as he has shown in many ways, courts don't matter to him. And it also sends a signal that he's not afraid to use the pardon power in dangerous ways. Normally, presidents save their most controversial pardons for the end of their final term. And you see a rash of controversial pardons in the last few weeks of a presidency. By doing such a quote, hot pardon, in just his seventh month in office, it shows that President Trump is willing to bend the rules and push the limits as far as he can get away with.
That's right. I mean, generally, presidents feel like they might end up paying too much of a political price for any controversial pardons, as Obama did in the case of Chelsea Manning. He might have, and of course, there's different ways in which you pardon. There's clemency, there's presidential pardons, and I know there's some technical differences between them. But a lot of those decisions presidents do leave to the very end of their tenure. Now, some suggested when Trump pardoned Arpaio that it might actually be the basis for impeachment proceedings against Trump. What do you make of that?
We completely agree, and it is known to be a basis for impeachment going back to the debates over the Constitution itself. During the ratifying debates, there was an objection raised to the pardon power that the president could use it to pardon crimes that he himself had planned. And James Madison, the father of the Constitution, said in response to that, that if the president abuses the pardon power, then he can be impeached.
And so are you, what at this point, what needs to happen? Can public pressure make any difference? I mean, you know, judges are supposed to simply enforce the law, but can it make a difference for people on the ground, particularly those people in Arizona who work so hard to hold Arpaio accountable, to revive their protests, to show that they really disagree with this pardon?
Well, I think that you're right that federal judges normally don't pay attention to what's going on in the public, but that doesn't mean that the public has no options. And if you go to impeachdonaldtrumpnow.org, you'll find resources on how you can contact members of Congress and get local governments to pass resolutions saying this has gone too far and it is a grounds for impeachment and Congress should start impeachment hearings.
It's amazing also that Arpaio, since his pardon, has also been making the rounds, the speaking circuit rounds, and he is headlining Republican Party race fundraisers. I mean, it's very clear that this partisanship that Trump has, you know, endowed him with, that he, I mean, he, of course, even rallied with Trump during Trump's own presidential campaign, that it's a very clear case of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. We're in this together. We're allies. You don't often see too many politicians making such overt overtures to highly polarizing figures.
Yeah, and there are voices in the Republican Party that I want to give credit that have condemned both Sheriff Arpaio's practices and the pardon itself, but it is disturbing how the president is using this as a rallying point in line with his facilitating and failing to condemn white supremacists and neo-Nazis and neo-Confederates. It paints a disturbing picture overall.
So you're hoping for a special prosecutor to be appointed in the case of the challenge of the pardon. If that does happen, I mean, Arpaio could still have to face his verdict, and there may still be a possibility of prison time if the pardon is overturned?
That's right. I think that the judge has enough information from the friend of the court briefs to understand that the constitutional issues here are bigger than what the Department of Justice's lawyers are arguing, and that she needs to hear from more than just the Department of Justice. She needs to hear from an outside lawyer who would be working as a special prosecutor who can look at this without political pressure.
Has it ever happened that a presidential pardon has been overturned?
You know, we've never had a presidential pardon like this one. The last right. time that a presidential pardon was held invalid was in 1915, and it was under different circumstances. So we haven't seen a case like this, and that's why we haven't seen a court decision like the one that we think should happen.
Wow. Well, where can people find out more information about the case filed by Free Speech for People about the challenge to the pardon?
If you go to freespeechforpeople.org, it's right up there on our website, and you can see the brief that we filed and also some background information that'll help explain it.
And that is freespeechforpeople.org. We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Ron, I'm sure we'll follow up with you about how this case turns out. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
My guest is Ron Fine, legal director of the group Free Speech for People, and we've been discussing whether Trump's pardon of Arpaio is unconstitutional. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.